Ladies and gentlemen, here we are again. It's Friday, so you know what that means. Full Auto Friday, today being round 16. Before we get into the episode, a little business. This episode is brought to you by longtime podcast sponsor and one of my favorite brands, Onnit. Go to onnit.com/hot. This is your landing page for total human optimization. There is a breadth and depth of knowledge, resources, and things that you can purchase when you are ready to optimize your health, wellness, and performance. It is impossible for me to describe what is offered here in totality. So what I'm going to ask is that you just go to the website, onnit.com/hot. On the very top, supplements, nutrition, fitness, apparel, sale and more, and then content. Depending on what you're looking for, you can pick a category. Some of my favorites are right there on the landing page. The Alpha Brain, which is a nootropic, Power Food Active, protein powder, some of the workout equipment, the Total Gut Health. Go to town, check it out, and get up to 10% off when you check out. Onnit.com/hot. This episode is also brought to you by Benchmade Knives, a brand that I became an ambassador for last year, and I could not be more proud of that fact. I love these knives. Benchmade is proudly built in the USA, and they have been for over 30 years, and there's some really cool things about the brand. One of my favorites is their custom knife builder, which gives you the ability to build your knife the way that you want it. They have some great offerings that are stock or standard, whatever term you would prefer, but they also have the ability to totally customize. And I just did so with a knife called the Bug Out, and I got to choose quite a bit when it comes to individuality, and I went with a black and red motif. Go with whatever speaks to you. You can choose on this knife builder from 7 different models, including that recent Bug Out that I talked about, and there are thousands of potential configurations to play with: materials, colors, engraving, and even more. Another great thing about the brand is there's a free lifetime sharpening and service through the LifeSharp program on all Benchmade products. And you can check out the custom knife builder at benchmade.com. They also offer a military, law enforcement, first responder discount through the website. So if you fall into that category, or you're somebody who is into knives, which they are, I would agree, part of an EDC, everyday carry, definitely check it out. Benchmade.com. And that's it on the business side of the house. Today's episode is slightly different. Mr. Bishop is back in town, so I asked him to sit with me and conduct the Full Auto Friday as a pair, as opposed to just me, because I consider myself to be pretty fucking boring, and it makes it easier for me when there's somebody else to talk to. And on that note, enjoy Full Auto Friday, round 16, with guest host Brian Bishop.
Okay, got the red smoke. Okay, copy. West of the smoke. I'm looking at danger close now.
Come on with it, baby. Give it to me. I need it. You're clear hot.
Copy, clear hot.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You are aware of the format, correct?
I am aware of the format.
We're going to try to keep it to 5 minutes per.
I don't know if we're going to be successful with that.
We are going to do our best. I solicited for questions. I requested that they be controversial in nature based on your previous appearance. Before we get into the questions, how are your direct messages the day after that podcast came out?
They were mostly good, but some were spicy. I did get some spicy messages from some people that were not thrilled with our position on 2A or definitely our voting.
I got mostly on masks. I got a heap of emails about people complaining about our personal belief on masks.
Well, okay.
Plus 2A and Trump stuff.
I did. I mean, I got a couple mass things too, but the other mass things I got were positive in nature. Two of the messages I got were positive in nature. They were by medical professionals, PAs and doctors. One of them, I think, had an infectious disease degree and agreed with our position on that and said that trying to use a mask to stop COVID was like trying to use a chain link fence to stop a mosquito.
I feel like a few mosquitoes are stopped with a chain link fence, the right ones that can't see very well.
Right. And then there's the other position, or the other known fact that's coming to light now is that you can get COVID through your eyeballs. So take your little masks.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy who actually is a first responder, and most of the transmission is through the mucous membranes of the eyes.
Right.
So on that note, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Question one from Mike.
Okay.
Is BLM a domestic terror group? Not the theory, but the group and movement. I see a whole lot of riot tourism going on. You have first shot at this one. Begin.
I'm going to say yes, because the leader of Black Lives Matter put out a statement that basically to the effect of, like, nothing we've done peacefully works. We're going to, and I'm totally paraphrasing, nothing I'm saying is verbatim on this, but he said something to the effect of, he basically was like, fuck you, we're bringing the blood, we're bringing the violence, we don't care. And when you're the leader of a movement that's supposed to be peaceful in nature and promoting, the racial disparities in this country, to try and make light of that and to, you know, do it in a peaceful manner. This whole peaceful protest bullshit makes me laugh, especially in light of the fact that, the recent riots in Kenosha, which resulted in some fatalities last night, which I'm just going to say, I'm fucking disgusted with you, America. Like, get your shit together. This has escalated to a place where I think it's complete bullshit, and I don't agree with it. I don't think Americans should be killing Americans in the streets. And I think that, get your facts straight, because first of all, the gentleman that sparked this whole riot that was shot in the back by the police officer, from what it looks like on the video, was clearly disobeying police that have weapons drawn on him, and he was going for something in the vehicle. Was that a weapon? That's still yet to be determined, and that information hasn't been released, but he does duck down quickly underneath the seat before he gets lit up. Not to mention the fact that the guy was a felon and had all kinds of domestic violence, and, you know, he had a long rap sheet, so, and was already a convicted felon. So if you're out in the street and you're killing other Americans over a convicted felon that refused to obey commands by police that had weapons drawn on him, you're a fucking idiot.
I agree. I'm going to actually attempt to answer the question since you started talking about Wisconsin. I am not going to call the entire movement a terrorist organization, because terrorism, would you not agree, is a tactic.
Right.
What I would say is the rioters and people who are trying to incite rioting, they are using what I would consider to be a form of terrorism. They're using small numbers to intimidate large numbers. I don't know enough about the overall movement itself and its leaders to say whether or not they are a terrorist movement, but I do think that their messaging is being hijacked, and I don't know if that's implicitly, complicitly, or by accident. But I think that the forest is being lost for the trees.
I agree. And yes, I did go on a fucking tangent tirade there.
That's okay.
So I'll reel it back. I feel like if you're the leader of this organization, the proposed leader of this organization, and you're making those kind of statements that, like, they're basically saying there will be blood, then you're promoting violence and you're promoting,
I agree with you on that,
terrorism.
Yes.
So,
because again, terrorism is a tactic.
Yes.
And it is also, I mean, if you think about the insurgents overseas, it's really the only tactic that they have, because they are numerically outnumbered.
Right.
And I agree with you. If you're an American killing American on American soil, I don't know what to say other than I'm completely, utterly disgusted and appalled. It's the last thing that I would ever want to see in my lifetime.
Yes.
And I guess it was a 17-year-old kid with an AR.
Yeah, well, I mean, and based on the footage that I saw, now, granted, I could be completely wrong with what I saw because I don't have context, but they did chase him down. One of the people was armed with a Glock pistol and got shot in the arm. I don't feel sorry for you. If you went for a gun and drew a gun on somebody else that already had a gun that you were chasing down the street, and he was trying to withdraw peacefully, and you continued to chase him and chase him and chase him, and he thought by you brandishing a weapon that, you know, and basically lethal force is authorized. I mean, I don't know what the state laws of Wisconsin are, but if you pull a pistol out, it's
I don't know the rules either, because then it comes to, like, the Castle Doctrine, stand your ground. I get a little hazy in those, actually.
Right. Well, and he was, I, I don't know exactly where they were located. I'm assuming that they were on public property because they were in the middle of the street. So they he I don't know if castle doctrine applies because he wasn't. I don't know if he was on his own personal property. It didn't look
wherever
like it.
I am is my fucking castle.
Right, and I'm
wearing flip flops currently, and they are the foundation of my castle.
Yeah.
So you can have a different philosophy if you want to.
I mean,
to.
Here in Montana, that works out pretty well.
Question two from Zach. Thoughts on the Second Amendment. Is, in quotation marks, sensible gun control possible? Does the Second Amendment include automatic weapons and things like body armor? Should there be age limits and waiting periods? Should felons lose their right to own guns if they've served their time? There's a lot to unpack here.
That's a multifaceted.
So we'll break it down. Is sensible gun control possible?
Yes, we have it.
I would agree with you on that. There are tens of thousands of gun laws currently on the books.
20,000.
Yeah.
And
that's
counting.
That's why I said tens of thousands.
Yeah.
You should listen, fuckface. I agree with you. I think we have the most sensible, the gun laws that are in place are sensible. This is kind of the conversation. It was a slight yelling contest with my dad.
Right.
Law-abiding citizens, those rules are in place. If you don't obey laws, it doesn't matter how many are on the books. But I do think it is possible. Does the Second Amendment include automatic weapons and things like body armor? Body armor to me, I mean, Second Amendment to me is the right to bear arms. So I put body armor totally to the side. Own body armor if you want to. I think it's more of a novelty than people think. Strap it on for 48 hours and let me know if you still want to own it.
Right. Yes.
And then, of course, there's a conversation between, I see people wearing body armor to rallies and they have only the soft armor in them. Yeah. It's like, hey, man, you're surrounded by people who are shooting rifles, which will zip through that like
butter.
Yeah. Yeah, like a hot needle through a piece of cheddar cheese.
Yes.
Automatic weapons. Does the Second Amendment include automatic weapons? Again, this falls back into the category for me of sensible gun control.
Which we have, because you can't own an automatic weapon unless you have a specific federal firearms license that's issued by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives.
Correct. And I view the Second Amendment, I don't want to say it should have an asterisk, but I think it, with everything in our Constitution, it should be moldable and malleable, which we are doing with that additional legislation. People get really torqued about automatic weapons. If you actually want to be effective, unless you're doing like plunging or covering fire and trying to get fire superiority, keep it on semi-auto. We had heavy weapons gunners to get people's heads down. It's actually the most inaccurate way you could possibly fire a weapon. So don't feel like you're missing out on too much. You don't need an M60. I don't actually think civilians need an M60. So in my opinion, I would say automatic weapons for a purpose, if you have the right paperwork and the reason to have it, perhaps. But for as a random gun collector, a random civilian, I don't think it's necessary. Thoughts?
I don't necessarily agree with that statement, but I think that if you go through the proper licensing procedure, if you go through the background checks, and you have to go through a local, state, and federal check that's really extensive, and then you have to pay your, I don't know what it is, it's like $1,200 a year, and you have to have a manufacturing SOT, and I could be wrong on this, but I don't think that you're allowed to own any type of belt-fed machine guns unless you have a manufacturer's license.
Really is not a need for them.
Right.
Even people like, oh, I want to go kill pigs with them in Texas. You will maybe hit the first pig.
Right. Yeah. We use them for anti-material stuff and like massive, like if we had...
And fire superiority. So other elements could maneuver.
Bunkered positions, stuff like that. Yeah.
All right. Should there be age limits and waiting periods? There are, and I agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think a 10-year-old shouldn't be able to buy a gun.
Right.
I think a father should be able to buy a 22 long range for his son.
Yep.
But it's the father or mother, obviously, who buys it, who is responsible for possession of it and the teaching and education. Yeah, of course. So I agree with that. Waiting periods. Well, I came from a state where, what's Cali? Is it beyond 10 now?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Okay, so Cali is over a 10-day waiting period, we think. We probably are going to get crushed on the internet.
But the backlog, it doesn't matter how long their waiting period is because the backlog between all of the new gun ownership it's through the roof. So I know for a fact, one of my friends that lives in Oregon has been, buying weapons, and the standard 7-day waiting period, I think that's in Oregon, has been like 3 weeks long because of the backlog in people that they have to do background checks on a daily basis. Like last I checked, he just told me he bought a new rifle and he's still 2,000 deep in the queue, and he bought it like a week and a half ago.
But should there be waiting periods in general? Montana has no waiting period. I would think that there is no difference in the statistical use of firearms in violence or crime in Montana in comparison to California.
Right.
The waiting period, from my understanding, another way you could look at it would be define it as a cool-off period. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's historically correct, but I know some states put that in place because if you went into a gun store hot, as in pissed, you couldn't buy a gun and then go execute a murder.
Yeah.
I don't think that – well, I'm sure it probably does stop some, but I think if somebody's at the point where they're going to murder another human being, they will find another way to do it.
Yes.
So on the waiting period, I'm going to say no, I don't think there should be a waiting period. What about you? Go on record.
No, I agree with that. I agree that there should be no waiting period. I mean, the questionnaire that you already have to fill out, and you know the system that's in place to do your background check. I think in Wyoming they still background check you.
Yeah.
Every gun I bought, I've been background checked.
But same here.
The system, you know, when it's not backlogged and overwhelmed, you can walk in, buy a weapon. They run your information. They check you in the system. You fill out your BATF paperwork. You answer your mental health questionnaire that's included in that paperwork. And then they get on the phone and they background check you. And if you're good, then you can walk out with your gun.
Should felons lose the right to own guns if they've served their time?
They already do. If you're a felon, if you're convicted.
Do you agree with the fact that they lose their right to own weapons?
Yes.
What if it's a nonviolent felon?
Doesn't matter.
I tend to agree with you on that one too. That's the hardest part of the question for me. This is one where I would need to spend like a day thinking about this as opposed to rapid fire. But don't be a felon is my first suggestion.
Right.
And I do believe that people will be charged with crimes, or perhaps a crime would be categorized as a felon that in further review should be changed. And I believe that there is a process in place to correct for that already. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too worried about it because there is a path to redemption or changing the record for those people. But you lose your right to vote when you're a felon.
Yeah.
I think you should lose your right to carry a firearm as well. Who would win in a fight? This is from Miles. 100 normal size Steven Seagals or one Godzilla sized Steven Seagal? You are the best person to answer this because of the amount of time you spent training and sculpting and manicuring the law enforcement officer that we all know as Steven Seagal.
I feel like he is already Godzilla sized, maybe Jabba the Hutt sized.
So 100 of his normal size versus one of him Godzilla size.
I mean, he kind of is already Godzilla sized.
I'm going to say
Godzilla sized.
I would say that too because he could knock over buildings with his FUPA.
Mm-hmm.
And just step on all the other Steven Seagals. How would they even do damage?
Let's not forget about that triple chin.
The triple chin would be good. You could take like the Golden Gate Bridge down with that thing. You could catch those suspension wires in between the little the giblets and
exactly.
Just rip that fucker down.
Right. And when the fake hair fucking crumbles and falls off, it'll like smash vehicles and go through roofs.
I feel the only way, what's that tale where the giant goes into the, it's a kid's book where they like tie the giant man down. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. They like shoot arrows and ropes over the top. And that's the only way that scenario could play itself out in his favor.
Yeah.
In the 100 normal sized people direction.
I feel like if you just maybe left a bowl of almonds out and maybe some.
He's not going to eat that shit. I think you mean a bowl of macaroni.
Yeah. Or
like mac and cheese.
Yes.
All right. Good. So you're with that. From Amanda, how do you help youth and young adults take and see the importance of personal responsibility and extreme ownership when many of their peers are demanding free housing, free education, and a free monthly stipend from the government? Go ahead.
Ooh. Well, Amanda, I have a 13-year-old son, and I've raised him very much like I was raised, where I teach him the value of hard work and earning his own way. And I'm very hard on him. I tell him not to expect handouts. If I detect any sense of entitlement in him at any point in time, I crush it, and not in a nice way. So I'm raising my son to appreciate the value of hard work, and I encourage other parents to do the same thing. I have gotten weird looks at the grocery store when he has gotten a little mouthy with me, and I've had to like do a polite correction, as polite as I can, and F-bombs start raining out of my mouth. I've also horrified other...
I love how you said polite and F-bombs in the same sentence.
Yeah, well, the other thing, I've also horrified other people too when I've like dropped him for push-ups or just had him start doing burpees until he was ready to vomit because he was disrespectful to another adult. So I run a tight ship, and I don't tolerate that type of behavior, that type of thought process, because that's not how I was raised. So that's my parenting and philosophy.
And I think this one is tough too, because she's talking about a broad generation. And I'd say the one way that you're not going to have an impact, from what I can tell, is by being a megaphone of information at that broad community and at that broad generation. I think the way to do it is through the people who, like your son or your son's close friends, the people you actually have an influence with. I would say the same for my family. The only change I could make would be for the people who are actually willing to listen, and any effort wasted on other people, it's going to be pointless. But it starts with, I think, one, you live in the way that you're teaching your son. So you have to set the example that you're trying to express out of them as well, and focus on the people that are the closest to you. The, you know, the free housing, free education, and free monthly stipends, that sounds great until they're... Let's see, how old will our kids be when they have to start paying for these programs?
Oh, socialism's awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
Until you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Who's paying for it?
In their early 20s, when their taxes are astronomical.
65%.
And they see what it costs to provide those free things. Maybe a way, and this would be a tough one. Oh my God, trying to explain this to people in their early teens, like sitting down and educating them about the cost of free.
Yes.
Because that's a bumper sticker. You know, freedom costs something.
Yes, and my son and I have had kind of some of these discussions, because he's 13 now, and he's starting to get some of these ideas from some of his peers. And anytime he comes up with something like that, I always just walk it backwards with him. And I'm like, hey, first of all, why do you think you deserve that?
Yeah.
And secondly, who pays for that at the end of the day? Where does that come from? Where does all that free come from?
Taxes.
Right.
Yeah. And I wasn't worried about taxes when I was... A teenager, mostly because my dad was paying me cash under the table.
Right.
But he was also paying me an unacceptably low hourly wage. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that at the time.
Do you get it now?
I do now.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first hourly wage?
I do.
What was it?
$4.15.
Mine was $1.50. And my dad to this day will be like, you were only worth 75 cents.
Right.
So you're welcome. And it's like, fuck
your dad's a national treasure, by the way.
My dad has many things.
I'm so glad I got to meet him.
He's a unique individual.
He's awesome.
You guys should stick around longer. Another question from Zach. Should vaccines be mandatory on a federal level?
Ooh, no, they shouldn't.
I don't know shit about vaccines is my issue here.
I don't. And I mean, we've both been shot up with them. Like, I had two series of anthrax. I've had smallpox. I've had Japanese encephalitis. I mean, go down the laundry list.
The smallpox vaccine almost killed me, I felt like. The lymph nodes in my throat were the size of golf balls.
Yes. Under my armpits. I had to like walk around like this because I could not put my arms down because the lymph nodes in my armpits were like the size of golf balls. And I was on ship. So that was even more fun, like living in the birthing area after smallpox.
I got the needle pokes right before getting on the bus to go to OIF-1.
Ooh.
So my lymph nodes decided to explode when we were in Turkey on a two-day overnight where we got permission to fly into Saudi. Mm.
Yeah.
And that...
apparently was not fun.
Wasn't fun at all.
Yeah, no.
It was miserable. But I don't like the idea of saying vaccines... Should they be mandatory? And I have a feeling this question is tied to, what if they come out with an experimental COVID vaccine? Should it be mandatory that every American take it?
No.
I agree. I concur. It should not.
My body, my choice, right? Isn't that the thing?
I'm not going down that rabbit
hole.
Okay. I do agree with that, though. Your body, your choice. You certainly should have the choice when it comes to your body.
Yeah.
You are the first moderator in the upcoming presidential debate. What is your first question? Debate between Trump and Biden. And let's say the VPs are there as well.
Ooh.
Socially distanced, of course.
Wow. That's a great one.
I almost don't know where to start.
Neither do I.
Because I have questions about economic policy,
right.
Foreign policy, the military, immigration.
Yes.
I have
a plethora.
But if you could only ask him one, what would you ask?
Ooh, what's your plan to contain this virus and get America back to somewhat a normal state again? Because I'm still waiting for somebody to come up with a good plan that makes sense, that is functional and will work. And so far, I haven't seen it.
I feel like the answer you would get on that would be so incredibly
long,
vague.
Lots of smoker names.
They would say, Brian, I'm glad you asked that question. I would like to talk to you about the immigration reform.
Right.
That's the number one maneuver.
Pivot.
Oh, it's awesome.
Smoke and pivot.
Fuck, I don't know what I would ask him. I think the coronavirus portion would be, of course, the most timely.
I mean, it's the thing that's most directly affecting Americans right now.
I agree.
I think it was the kind of the catalyst for all of the rioting to take place and everything happened because everybody was super stressed out. Everyone was quarantined and locked down and going stir crazy, not having a plan, not having dealt with the virus in the ways that we should have, with like doing some broad-based testing and like locking people down and like figuring out, like immediately diving into research to figure out what this thing was and how, you know, what it is and how it affects people. Like there was a lot of failures.
I agree. Two more. Are you ready?
Right.
What's the appropriate response to destruction of property in a riot? Defend with violence or stand down?
Destruction of property?
They were not very specific because I have two answers to this. One being private property and the other one being subway, and not to use subway as a it's maybe an example of a business that is unoccupied. I would say I would like to avoid violence of Americans on Americans at all costs.
At all costs.
So if it is a business, if I have no understanding or appreciation or support for people who are looting or rioting,
right.
But I would not want to see somebody get shot because they went in and stole a fucking purse. On that one, with like there's an insurance claim and there's no risk to life or personal property, even though the stores could probably say it's their personal property. At a broad level, I would say if there's no imminent risk to human life, contain it to the best of your ability and avoid violence at all costs. So I guess my answer on that would trend to be, well, for one, I would hope there'd be enough of a presence to prevent it from happening. But if it did, I would say allow that to happen to avoid risk of human life. Personal property for me is a different issue. If
right.
I'm on my personal property, if the damage that you are going to be doing rises to a level of a risk to myself or my family or my loved ones, and you push me to a place where I have to respond with violence because you will not respond to anything else, I will respond with violence. But I'm not going to recommend that other people do that. They have to make that choice for themselves given their situation.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I would kick this back to you and say though, what if you do own the building? What if you do own your private and it's your only source of livelihood to continue to support your family? Like if that building burns and you lose everything, you're no longer capable of taking care of your family and feeding your kids. Then what?
Well, I would hope they have insurance for things like that. And most policies for a business are going to have insurance for things like that. And you can rebuild. If you put a bullet through somebody's face, they cannot rebuild.
Right.
So we're talking about, that's not a... I understand the threat that you're talking about. I don't consider that to be an exigent threat because there are things in place that can help you with that. And if you had to lateral, you could lateral. Putting a bullet in somebody's face, as you know, is a permanent solution.
Very permanent, as people in Wisconsin just found out.
Correct.
I've been saying, I mean, I said it last time, like fuck around and find out. Like
it's trending in that direction. Yeah. We both said we're surprised that there hadn't been gunplay up until this point.
Right. And now there has been.
I bet you in Wisconsin, you have to be over 18 to own an AR.
Yes, you do.
I wonder where he got it. My guess would be his parents, an unsecured firearm.
Right.
Or what most people also probably don't realize, passwords to observant children. Mm-hmm. How many kids know their parents' iPhone password?
Oh, mine does for sure.
Of course. Did you show it to him or did they figure it out?
I showed him mine.
And if you hadn't, he probably would have figured it out because he would have been at an angle one time where you're putting in a pattern.
Yep. And he would have saw it. Yep.
And, you know, a rotary dial safe is a little bit more difficult, but if a little punch pad one, you might be surprised the access people have.
Right.
So an unsecured firearm. Well, this begs a question too. So it, let's say it was an improperly secured firearm that was owned by his parents. How much liability and culpability do you think they should have?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
I mean, he is a minor, so they are responsible for him. If he's below the age of 18, they are responsible for him, so that liability probably does fall on them.
Yes. I don't know the answer legally where that falls, but to me, guns are an implement that is designed to kill, period. I hear people all the time like, oh, no, they're designed to protect. It's like they do that by one of two ways, by killing or the threat of killing. Stop trying to church this shit up to make your argument better.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and if it's designed to kill, they're like, well, you can kill people in a car too. I'm like, yeah, but that's not what it's designed for.
Right.
Okay, and you lock your car at night, don't you? Mm-hmm. Because you don't want people to steal it. So yes. If you have an implement designed to kill or take life.
Your car has an alarm on it.
Correct. If you don't secure it, my thoughts are as... Yeah, no, actually, I do know how I feel about this. If you own a weapon and you do not secure it and store it safely, if it's stolen and they steal your whole safe, this is a different story.
Right.
But if it's on your part where you didn't take the steps necessary and a crime is committed with that weapon from a minor child of yours, I think you should share in the culpability.
Yeah.
So that's just my thought. This last one could be the most controversial of the day. You ready?
Perfect. Let's get after it.
SIG or Glock?
My
answer is yes.
Yes.
Why not? You have two hands.
Right.
Two pockets. Actually, never carry a gun in your fucking pocket unless it's a pocket gun.
I've just recently started branching out and like buying other stuff just to try.
What was your first pistol outside of the military? The first one you bought?
A USP9.
Okay, HK USP9. Yeah. I have one of those as well. It's a very fine gun. You know, the first gun.
I still have it.
I still have mine as well. The first gun I ever purchased because I had just turned 18 and I needed a gun was a Glock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Cali. Mm-hmm. I think I had it shipped to my dad's house.
That was my second gun. I bought a Glock 23 40 cal. That was my second one.
Actually, maybe I was 21. I don't fucking know how old I was. But personal preference. Let's say a range gun, Glock or SIG.
Ooh. I mean Glock, yes.
I'm a fan of, I'm shooting that Zev now, which is essentially a Glock.
It is. The OZ-9?
Yes.
Yes. And how do you like it?
I like it a lot. I like the fact that it came with pre-drilled holes and screw sets for the red dot, which
optics.
Is nice. I'm a huge fan of red dots on pistols.
As am I.
They take a little bit, as you were trying to teach me the other day. You know, you have to practice your draw stroke. It's different. I was like, yeah, tell me more. Can you tell me more about this? Like, the angle might be slightly off.
I hadn't seen you carrying anything with a dot on it until you pulled out your... SIG, and then you so politely reminded me that you did have experience in that,
correct,
in that area. So,
but for my everyday carry, I do enjoy the SIG 365. That, and Denver was asking me about this, like my thing with subcompacts. They're fucking subcompact. I carry appendix usually. It's comfortable when it's smaller. Go ahead and carry a full size Glock 19 if you want to. I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
I mean, I also like to have a framing hammer down the front side of my pants too, like.
Well, yeah, there's that. They're, I think they all have their place. Like the subcompacts, I call them grocery getters because I would throw that in my sweatshirt to go to the grocery store, or if I want to carry, you know, with me when I go to the gym and I need to have something in, you know, on me in the gym because I feel like I need to, which I don't do a lot of. But
guns are tools.
Right.
There's a reason there's a Phillips head and a flathead and a hammer.
Absolutely.
And a drill.
Yes. My everyday carry is a Glock 19. So I carry that, and it's just because I have so much time on that gun.
Yeah,
I carried that gun. I've carried that gun everywhere. Carried it in Afghanistan. I mean, it was issued to me in Afghanistan. I was issued a 17 and a 19 in Afghanistan. So I've deployed with it, and then it was my personal carry at home. And I have hundreds of thousands of rounds down a Glock 19, and it's my favorite. It's my
which
favorite
is why I trend more towards SIG because I have the exact same thing on a different platform. Even though 226 is not their best offering.
No.
In my opinion.
The new 320, I've shot it a little bit, and I like it. It's definitely got some... I like the ergs on it way better than any
feels
other
good in
old
your
stuff.
Hand.
Yes, the grip angle's great. I like the beaver tail that's coming off of it. They beveled the magwell so you can get your reloads go good. I like the modularity of it too, because with that trigger pack that you can pull out, you can completely, put the frame on there that you want for whatever you're doing. Like if you want,
and it's an easy swap.
Yeah, it's an easy
pull
swap
out, drop in. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it does have some great features. The only thing that I'm not psyched on it is the bore.
But it doesn't say Glock.
that. The bore axis is a little high on it, and so the recoil impulse for your follow-up shots, or if you're going to do like a rapid string, is a little, it's a little more challenging, but because you're getting a little more nasty slide throw. But other than that, it's, I mean, that's negligible.
I agree.
It's just, it's time on the gun and learning how to deal with that. So
we didn't actually get too controversial today. Well, actually, we did hit points.
Do we need to hit one more to get?
Do you want to hit one more? I'll find one.
Okay.
But I have to unlock my phone.
I think it needs to deal with the COVID mask issue. We didn't. I don't think we covered that, did we? We didn't cover that.
I didn't actually get any COVID issues.
Oh, we didn't get any COVID questions?
I feel like we dove in pretty deep on the last episode.
I did some research in between then and now, and I've been listening to Brett Weinstein. I listened to him on the Rogan podcast. His predictions have been pretty spot on with what's going on right now, and I'm really disappointed because I think last night is another validation of Brett's prediction that he thinks a civil war is imminent, which is hugely disappointing to me. And I,
so here's the question for you, because I've gotten this one before, and I talked about it when I was on Joe's podcast.
Right.
Seeing that there's a small subset of people that are sitting on the bench hoping that it doesn't happen, but at some point they will come off the bench. What would be that line in the sand for you?
Ooh, that's a great question, because you're right. We do, and you know,
it wouldn't go well. And that's the last thing that I would ever want to have to participate in.
Right.
But I will not let people fucking destroy this country.
I will not let people destroy this country either. And if it comes to a situation where innocent people start getting killed en masse by Black Lives Matter or by Antifa, or they start getting really heavily militarized, or anything happens to my friends or family because of a result of that, them perpetuating violence in any way, shape, or form, I will come off the bench. And here's what I would say: if you were those people that are out there that are causing these problems, and that are you're rioting and you're destroying property, and you think that's the best way to convey your message, and you hate America, and you want to destroy all of this, and you want anarchy, I would like to remind you that quietly sitting by is 20 years worth of veterans in combat arms and special operations that have been watching the situation and monitoring it carefully, and they're waiting for that moment. And when that moment comes, you're gonna wish that you never pushed it as far as you did, because we specialize in this. It's what we did for years. I had 13 years. How many years did you have?
17.
Yes. Okay. So we're specialists in locating and perpetuating violence on individuals. So I would tread lightly, and I would not open that Pandora's box, because once you do, we will locate you and close with you and destroy you. So keep that in mind when you're out there and you want to keep pushing violence and escalating things and escalating things and escalating things. Like, it's all fun and games until you saw what happened last night in Kenosha. And if you think that a 17-year-old with an AR-15 is dangerous, wait until 20 years worth of veterans that have several combat deployments and lots of experience and lots of tools in their toolbox to perpetuate violence back upon you. And that's what I would say to that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think for me, the line in the sand is the exigent threat to friends and family first and foremost. God, I don't ever, ever, ever want to have to go down that path. But I agree with you. A militant organization that is causing terror on the street, that is essentially executing military operations with firearms and killing innocent people.
Yes.
I can't let it happen.
No, at all.
So, follow-up question: is silence violence?
Ooh. Is and by that you mean us sitting by and watching?
No,
things.
I mean they're surrounding people now and shouting at them, "Your silence is violence."
Oh. Your silence is violence. No, this goes back to the whole, Brett Weinstein talked about this. He said something to the effect of DARVO, and it's an acronym, and I think it stands for, what is it, defend, attack, reverse victim, and offender. And that's essentially what they're doing. Like this is a gaslighting technique.
I think what they're saying, though, is I see where you're going with that, but they're saying if you don't speak up, you're being violent. And to me—
Yeah, it's reversing victim and offender right there, I think.
I feel that people who think silence is violence have never been punched in the face.
Ever.
Because if if you've been in a fight or involved in violence or spent an occupation where violence is the expression of it, not saying anything is the farthest thing from violence that I can imagine. Violence is violence.
Violence is violence.
Silence is silence.
Yes.
Would you like to go in on a bumper sticker? Silence is silence. Violence is violence.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Imagine, though, actually believing that not saying something is a violent act against another human being, against the pastel of violence that you
to me
that'd be like holding a 45 pound weight out and letting go, but it stays there.
Yes.
Instead of hitting the ground.
Mm-hmm. These are classic psychological operations, I think. So they're using many forms of, they're using many ways to try and accomplish their agenda, and one of which is this psychological operation in which they're trying to, you know, take innocent people that have never, you know, probably harmed a fly and turn them into villains so that they have an excuse to perpetuate violence upon them.
And on that note, closing thoughts by Brian Bishop. Or were those your closing thoughts?
No, closing thoughts. Leaders of America, get your shit together, okay?
Citizens of America, get your shit together.
Yes, citizens of America, get your shit together. I think, once again, lack of leadership, which we talked about last time.
Yep.
If you are a city official, if you're a mayor, if you're a county commissioner, if you're any of these people that are not letting your law enforcement do their job and contain this type of violence, this falls on you. And If this continues to happen at large, things will come unraveled, and then we will have to come off the bench, and then all bets are off.
If it does come unraveled, do you think we'll be able to put the pieces back together again? If Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall?
Yes.
I hope so.
Right. But it's going to have to be, I mean, based on our experiences in the war on terror and probably the failures that both of us experienced in politics and procedure and how things were done militarily or kinetically and diplomatically, if this is going to go down, there's no diplomatic solution. There is hunt and kill the enemy and wipe them out, and then when the fucking smoke clears, start from scratch.
Let us hope it doesn't go there.
I pray every night that it doesn't go there. So
on that note, we're done.
All right.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.